fighting for America.
You've got tremendous love for this country, Kevin, and the people of Idaho. And anybody that has had a chance to be able to get to know you, even just listening to you on the radio, knows you got a heart of gold, man. And we all appreciate it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hey, thanks again, Kevin, and thanks for the audio. You know, we appreciate you and the community, obviously. Appreciate you guys all the time. I'm just another one.
Fighting for you.
Everybody isn't Kevin Miller, and I'm not just saying this. I said this behind your back. You are one of the best in the entire country. I know that for a fact. But you are an exception, sadly, a big exception to what our industry has become.
Boise's Mr. Right, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are, KMLA in the morning, blessed to be a part of your day. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up, we'll speak with Dave Petzo. And next hour, we're going to be talking about a bomb train in Idaho. That's right. And what we'll do is we'll have our friend Alma the Anti-Fracker with us. She's got some great information that we will share with you. In addition to that, we will take your phone calls on the idea of fracking and the latest there. And if you miss any of the program, remember, you can always go to 580kido.com for the very latest and check out some interviews, some people that you may have missed. So we look forward to sharing that with you. Again, another way that we're trying to let you know that we care and we want to give you all that information. Joining us now, Dave Petzo here at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How was your weekend?
It was good.
Good.
Yeah, it was good.
You look relaxed.
Thanks. Didn't do much.
Perfect.
Yeah. So what's going on?
Well, the big news last week, Apple. Apple was the big news. And you say, well, why? Okay, so they announced a watch. That was early in the week. Big deal. We're moving on to other things. But it is a huge driver for us locally because of Micron, right? All the chips they make. Coming up with a bigger phone, better phone, something that uses more chips to drive its memory, it's a big deal. It really is. And also with their new pay system, this could actually be very devastating to banks. It might change everything, the way we do everything, you know, paying for things. We may not use credit cards anymore. It's a possibility. I'm not saying they're going to take over the world on that, but, boy, Apple could if they have the right product.
Well, hopefully they'll do it a lot better than they do securing photos.
Right, exactly. But that is exactly why people want it, because they do have a closed system. Would imply that it would be a lot more secure than us walking around with our credit cards to lose, to have the share the numbers, et cetera.
Sure. Still a credibility issue when we're talking about Apple and this new technology in lieu of the cloud being broken into.
I think so. I think they got a pretty good pass on this, Kevin. I don't exactly know what happened here, but they don't seem to be thrown under the bus the way Target and others did. And I realize it wasn't a breach even close to as big as that was, but still, somebody got in, something went wrong, and that's never happened to Apple before. So it does bring a little bit of a credibility issue there. I agree.
Well, and then the issue of Apple saying with their new security that they're going to take a look at, you have to sign in twice with two different passwords. People use these things for convenience, so
yeah.
There might be a problem with buy-in. What about people's money? What's going on with the markets?
It just absolutely dull. It really isn't
dull.
Doing much.
Well,
very dull.
You need to.
I know. Make something up. It's not. No. It's
right.
Just,
well, yes, exactly. We got to give people a reason to tune in.
I agree. That's the way the media reports it, Kevin, as you and I talk all the time. It's just, hyperventilating about absolutely nothing. There isn't a lot of news right now out there. I think as far as finances go, what's going on with the markets right now is we're between. There's nowhere to put money in the world except stocks, particularly U.S. stocks, and there's all these problems over here. So people are just kind of in between those two places, very unnerved by what's going on in the Middle East, very unnerved by the ISIS situation, very, very, I think, even more focused on the Russian situation because of what, potentially the energy cutoff to Europe. There are just a lot of pressure points on the market right now. But where else are you going to put money? And that's why money continues to flow in.
Well, you do have people investing in real estate, people buying homes again, construction, if you will. You have these group of investors. Still, you have, and I know you talk about this all the time, at 580 KIDO, you have 80% of the country, 80% of the available people opting out.
Yeah, it's a surprise. And literally, Kevin, we've talked about this number before, but it's $11 trillion is sitting in cash. The desire of that is, I guess if you were to state it in investment terms, the desire would be, I want to lose a little bit of money to inflation every year. That is my investment strategy. Well, I guess people personally can do that. But if you're running money, if you're a money manager, you can't do that. You won't have a job. And so really we're talking about the big money is definitely continuing to dribble this in, because you can't sit there and earn zero interest, which means negative real returns.
Dave Petzo, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO talking about your money. But you know, sooner or later, and you've been doing this for however many years, you've seen the course corrections. Do you expect any type of correction, any type of uh-oh moment?
Absolutely. I don't know when, but we do expect, and in fact, I don't just expect it. It's certain to happen. We are absolutely certain to have, over and over again, all the days of our lives, normal market corrections and sometimes severe bear markets. It's a fact of investing. It is a simple fact, and I don't know why we spend so much time trying to figure out when that will occur, if it'll occur, how severe it'll be, and on and on. I guess I do know it sells papers.
Right, but again, we're talking about people's investments, and doesn't that contribute to the over 80% of the people that aren't invested?
Well, it does, but it does in a negative way, meaning why are you worrying about things that don't matter? It's going to happen. Stop worrying about it. It's inevitable.
Now, wait a minute. Worrying about things that don't happen, but I mean, we've heard these stories, and you counsel people, you guide people on how to avoid those mistakes, because people are very fearful of what happened with Enron.
Right.
You know, they had their pensions and everything else. They did everything right and wiped out. I mean, that's a legitimate
fear. They did
fear.
One huge thing wrong. They put it all in one company.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing. You don't, if you're working for Micron, as much as I think Micron has the wind at its back, is doing very well. They're knocking the cover off the ball. They're minting money out there. And it looks good as far as the eye can see. It looks great. And if you're working there and you have stock options and you're still buying more through their stock purchase program, that's silly. You need to keep diversifying and not have it all in one company, because things happen in a big way to one particular company. And yes, and Enron was obviously a fraud situation. It was a very bad situation there. So was WorldCom. There are several other instances out there of why you don't have all your money in one company.
Dave Petzo with us, Kevin Miller here at 580KIDO. More coming up. I do want to go back to the issue involving trust. And you have so many folks across the, well, states like General Motors are like General Motors that have these huge legacy costs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we take a look at, well, we don't even have to go to the east. We can go to the west. You take a look at folks in California. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine. You have people that are you know, that put in their 20 or 30 years in the state of California, and their pension funds are blowing up. I mean, this is Dave Petzo 101. Some people are making six figures in pension funds.
Yep.
Now, if we still had the same manufacturing base and everybody was making money, maybe we wouldn't have a problem with that. But we are talking about public servants here, and we're talking about how long before the system blows up?
They are blowing up. They're blowing up in Illinois. They are in looking at some severe changes in California even. You know, they have to. They are blowing up. There's no way. It did blow up at General Motors. You can't. And whenever you have that kind of that level of corruption, which it was, it is corrupt to buy votes through their local unions to buy those votes of ever-increasing pensions, ever-increasing pay, health care plans, so on. Anytime government is or politicians are buying votes, I think that's corruption, and that there's and the system has gotten out of control, and it always will blow up. Unfortunately, it blows up typically on people who are far down the road from the people who started.
Sure, but back to the fiscal viability of someone who puts in 30 or 40 years, and we're not discounting their service, you know, I'm thinking of a teacher. Okay, you know, you put in your time and okay, you make your pension and everything else. But other public servants, particularly, you know, whether it's California or wherever, maybe in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, I mean, six figures for a pension fund. And then you have people that they don't use that. They collect that money and then they get another job.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those of us that will never make six figures or that make six figures barely or that work five jobs just to keep the mortgage lights on, how can we sustain that?
We can't. We can't. No, you're right. It isn't sustainable. It's absolutely not. Here and further, it makes no sense to have all these pensions that start at such ridiculously young ages when we are all living so long. You know, I don't think it was a God-given or American right to be able to be retired longer than you work. Retirement is really a very new concept, Kevin. It really is. It's people didn't live that long, and if they did, they didn't have a pension until the 20th century.
Let's take a look at the impact on business. This is right up your alley.
Okay.
All right. Dave Petzo 101 with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. We have a lot of people, and whether you work in sales, whether you have your own business, really we've become a nation of free agents. We're all free agents. We're all in business for ourselves. It's not such and such company. We're more like we've become a nation of independent contractors.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm running Kevin Miller Incorporated and
I like the sound of that.
I'm producing carrots and sweet peas every morning for a healthy food here.
Mm-hmm.
You're always on me about that. See, I've traded in the ramen noodles here. Okay. And I look at the taxation, the requirements, the double, the triple taxation, the way the government, to pay for this exorbitant thing, these things going on, that I have to foot the bill, it destroys my incentive, my initiative to be self-sufficient.
It does. And I think that people miss this, too, because it's a factor of our society, too. I understand that whenever somebody has more than you, it's a fight to not be envious of that or feel like they should do more or whatever it is. Give more away, they should pay higher taxes, so on and so forth. Bottom line, though, we are now in America, we now have over a 50% tax rate at the top level. At what point do we say that enough's enough? Most Americans feel that 25% is plenty, but yet the current administration continues to attack the most innovative, the most productive in our society. And, Kevin, you want to start a business today, I think you're nuts.
Right.
It's, you know, I mean, the level of regulation and, as you point out, taxation and so on is just absolutely crazy. Now, I say nuts in the sense of it's very difficult. But at the same time, I've had a business. I haven't worked for somebody else other than hundreds of clients, right? Okay. But since I was 18 years old, it is wonderful to be in business for yourself, but it's a very difficult hurdle.
Right, but I go back to the funding here. It's almost like we're subsidizing the nouveau rich, if you will, because, a six-figure pension, if you can't live off six figures, and this is the same society where we're talking about eliminating Social Security because it's broke.
Right.
I don't get how one can sustain the other. And look, if I had a six-figure pension, I'd be sleeping in right now.
You'd be
I wouldn't be getting a second job.
Right.
So I keep working my other job. I don't. Something's missing there. I don't get that. I really don't. Look, I don't begrudge Bill Gates or Steven Jobs or any of these guys that do these things, but the system's rigged, at least in some states.
It is in some states. It is always where you find the most liberal governments, the most we're going to help all these people get
right.
Better jobs, higher paying jobs, and that's where you find corruption. It's a corrupt internal system.
Well, what happens when the rubber meets the road, though, when you can't pay the bills?
And that's what they're doing right now in California. That's why Illinois is actually in very, very big danger of blowing up. It's one of the reasons.
Right.
It's not all the only reason. But the government pension programs in these states are so big and such a big unfunded liability that every year that goes by, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And so if Illinois is still not dealing with the inevitable blow-up of that program.
How to deal with legacy costs. More coming up with Dave Petzo, host of Money Matters, Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. Kevin Miller in the morning. Let's get you.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, and you were shocked. You just heard about the Marconi victory.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm honored to be in your presence. I mean that. Well, that's a seriously big award.
I was just about ready to say, are you? I'm honored to be in my presence.
There is a glow about you, Kevin. I like it. I like
exactly.
it. No, seriously, that is really awesome. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And, you know, Dave, you are such a big advocate of this station, of this show. And we go back to John and Chris and just the great history and legacy that we have here. And it was all built by you and those folks and the people that listen, because that's the people that really matter. I mean, it's a community.
It is a community. It really is. It really is.
Now we're planning on taking your community money.
That's right.
Yes. Which, who knows what will happen with the government. Let's take a look at some more financial news here at 580 KIDO, and we'll do some quick takes with Dave Petzo. Remember, he'll be on Saturday 8 to 10. Also, the Petzo Center, Petzo Financial. Here we have a headline, $2.6 trillion. That's the tax revenue record through August. But the feds are still running a deficit of $589 billion. And you think to yourself, could you sustain your business that way?
No, of course not. Yeah. No, but I don't have a printing press. They do. so they just keep printing. And they don't deal with it, because dealing with it, like as an example, George W. did, tried to deal with Social Security. That was a big thing in his second term. And they shut that down just like that. I mean, just boom. Anything to not deal with these very difficult questions. Push it down the road. But we will have a Ronald Reagan again someday, where they can move people to the center and move them to their position to deal with these difficult problems. And I think the Democrats are going to find some more, moderate people in their party coming forward to deal with some of these issues, because it's the Senate is completely locked up.
Tough call, though, just in Iowa. Hillary Clinton was there, hanging out, having a good time. People think that she's too moderate for today's uber progressive Democratic Party, number one. Number two, though, let's go back to the economy, and we talk about energy. Now, Dave Petzo, can you defend that we're the world's largest oil producer, yet our gas prices hover around $4 a gallon? Why?
Other than Saudi Arabia, we have some of the cheapest gasoline in the world. We do. We really do here. Anywhere you travel, you know it's just absolutely horrible over in the UK, over in Europe. It's terrible. I really don't know about South America, but I have been down in Mexico. It's not cheaper there. And it certainly is more expensive in Canada, far more expensive. So we're even right across our border, and they are big producers. It's all about taxes, Kevin. It's not about the energy companies making a mint. They have very, very narrow margins. Oil is a commodity. It is not, precious or to one particular kind. There are certain kinds, but that are better for gasoline and refining. But at the same time, the reality is that oil is oil, and it's all over the world, and people can't patent it or anything. So our gas prices are pretty good compared to around the world. They are.
Compared to last year or 2 years ago, they're pretty high.
Compared to 2 years ago and last year, they're right in the ballpark, Kevin. We've had high gas prices here for a while. And don't get me wrong, they can be lower, but it's really about the taxation on it. It is very high. We're very high taxed, but lower than the rest of the world.
If we're high taxed, then, playing devil's advocate with our great friend Dave Petzo here at 580KIDO, then how come Exxon is still the biggest, most profitable company in the world? Apple and Exxon go back and forth on that.
They do, and the reality, Kevin, is that they have just over the years become a bigger and bigger and bigger company because they spend a lot of money. Kevin, can I give you a quick example that we take for granted? I just was reading this in the Wall Street Journal probably about 3 weeks ago. There is this big oil field that several companies have gathered together to try to drill in.
Right.
They have spent several billion dollars and have not got a drop of oil yet. Billions of dollars. Governments don't do that. Individuals don't do that. Corporations that have existing wells can do that, corporations like Exxon. And it's very difficult for us to think about that. But years ago, I was out in the Gulf of Mexico, 110 miles offshore, flew out to it to see a drilling rig. It's absolutely overwhelming. You're in 700 feet of water, just near the edge where it drops off, on a platform. This platform, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars per day, whether they drilled or did not drill. It was a dry hole. So you have millions of dollars spent, gone, and then they go on and go try to find something else. Less than half the wells are successful out there, and these companies are spending a lot of money to try to find it because it is valuable, and if it stops being valuable, nobody will go find it.
Right, but couldn't we give the American taxpayer a break? Don't we subsidize the oil companies to a degree?
I don't believe we do at all. When you just talk about simple, we not only don't subsidize, we tax the snot out of them. I mean, we just absolutely hammer them. Not just on the U.S. has the highest corporate tax rates in the world. We all know that. That's an ongoing discussion. But you also have the royalties that have to be paid. And they're huge, Kevin. It's about 20% of whatever's taken out of the ground goes right to the federal and state governments' coffers. And that's on the gross production. That has nothing to do with what they net out or all the write-offs. The only write-offs they get are normal business write-offs. Kevin, the people here, you guys write off this equipment. You write off the electricity.
I don't think we've written this equipment off for quite some time.
You think it's down to zero here? Yeah. I would agree. But business expenses, your salary, that's a normal tax deduction.
I think that's a loss here for these guys. But anyway. Dave Petzl, what should we be looking out for coming up?
The markets are very quiet right now, but I would also, we haven't talked about this. Maybe we'll talk about it next time. But this dollar rally that's going on, Kevin, is huge. And keep your eyes on that. It really will have an impact on some of these exporting companies, but it's also been very, very good for lowering oil prices, keeping them down in spite of all the geopolitical problems. Keep your eye on the dollar.
Dave Petzl, to be continued, are you in Saturday?
I am in Saturday.
Oh, well, we'll see you there. It's about time you showed up.
Really? Yeah, well, I'm glad you're back in town, Kevin.
All right, you're listening to 580 KIDO.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
All right, let's go live to Fox News Radio's Rachel Sutherland with a tale of a teacher in hot water. Good morning, Rachel.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here. So, you know, sometimes in class you have a teacher that will use, you know, a concrete example of someone in the past, someone that we can all relate to. But this one takes the cake. What's going on?
Well, this is happening here in the District of Columbia. A public school teacher in trouble after a homework assignment made it home and landed on the kitchen table. It really caused a lot of an uproar. Basically, this sixth grade teacher asked her students to draw a Venn diagram comparing President George W. Bush to Adolf Hitler.
Wow. Words can't describe. So George Bush to Adolf Hitler, it's like it's 2006 all over again.
Right. It makes you wonder, couldn't this have been a Venn diagram comparing Stalin and Adolf Hitler? Or how about Pol Pot and Adolf Hitler? Might have been a little bit more reasonable. But anyway, it caused a real stir within the community, and parents started complaining. Even parents who weren't great fans of President George W. Bush were complaining about this idea of comparing him to somebody who committed genocide.
Well, at least, I was going to say, you know, you were throwing Pol Pot in. That tops my Mao comparison. But so we have the reaction of the parents. What about the school's reaction?
The school system is saying that the teacher used poor judgment and will apologize to the students. And I won't yet. But the school system pointing out that no curriculum is instructing teachers to make comparisons like this in any way, especially when it comes to comparing an American president with Adolf Hitler.
No, it is very strange when you think about this and the idea of a dictator to the president. But let's face it, that was happening during the campaign, and it happened a lot during Bush's presidency. And they weren't legitimate comparisons, but there were comparisons.
Sure, there were comparisons drawn. And you always know, okay, you have an argument with somebody, some kind of political debate. Once they drag in Adolf Hitler, it's over. You know, at that point, that person is really reaching. So in this case, I think this teacher just apparently allowed possibly his or her own politics to come in. But regardless, the school system is saying this is inappropriate. And obviously, the kids don't need to do this homework. They were sixth graders, so pretty impressionable, about 13 years old.
Sixth graders?
Yeah, sixth graders. Yeah, these aren't even, it's not even like they're seniors in high school and can understand these things a little better.
I wonder what the lesson they'll take from this.
The students or the school system, maybe both.
Well, I guess little sixth graders, you know, it's got to be, on one hand, when little Johnny says George W. is the same as Hitler, according to Mr. Timmy there, and then all of a sudden Mr. Timmy having to apologize.
Oh, I think they've definitely learned, A, that teachers aren't perfect, and B, that it's not appropriate, actually, to compare a former American president to Adolf Hitler. So perhaps a lesson was learned after all.
One can only hope. So, again, the teacher apologizes, and that's it.
As far as we know, I saw this morning that a former speechwriter for President Bush is calling for the teacher to be terminated immediately. Now, that's all I've heard so far. I don't know if that will actually happen, but that's been the latest development.
Well, it's all forgiven, you know. I like that. Everything's forgiven. Let's get this guy fired, and we move on. You got to wonder, though, Rachel, at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning, what this guy was thinking.
Yeah, you do wonder what's in someone's mind. And I think at one time, perhaps President George W. Bush was so unpopular that people sometimes just immediately went there, or they wouldn't think about, is this a fair comparison? But since this, you know, teacher's not speaking up and the school system's not identifying this teacher, it's kind of hard to know what was in their mind when they came up with this assignment.
Yeah, indeed. Well, Rachel Sutherland, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, 580KIDO, Rachel Sutherland joining us from Fox News Radio. And if you've been listening to the radio, we just want to let you know, we want to thank you for your great support of us. Over the weekend, or over last week, we were awarded the Media Market Personality of the Year Award by the National Association of Broadcasters, the 25th Annual Marconi Award. And as I said before, this is a tribute to you and the type of things that we do. As I've said before, being an avid gadfly of this business, this industry, this profession that we've all chosen, I can tell you that nobody does what we've done here, we meaning you and me, and do want to thank everyone who has made a difference, certainly the people that believe in our causes, whether it's the Idaho Dairy Council, whether it's Tom Nelson and Nelson's RV, whether it's Rob at Team Mazda, and Subaru, whether it's our friends at Fresh Betty Spaghetti and Sean. We've been through a lot together, and we'll continue to try and make a difference. It's great that you were recognized at this, and you know, we're just your humble conduit, and we'll have more information available for you at 580kido.com. Now moving on to one of the more trending stories of the day, and this is involving Adrian Peterson and when is discipline child abuse. When is, thank you, sir, may I have another, going too far?
Assume the position.
Thank you, sir, may I have another? Thank you, sir, may I have another?
Now, those of us over a certain age, that's how we were disciplined. You know the old term, spare the rod, spoil the child. But what happens when the rod goes too far? And you have a four-year-old little boy with a welt. Do you get rid of corporal punishment? Is corporal punishment a thing of the past? Heck, we have the food police in schools, but we don't have corporal punishment. People say that it's antiquated. On the other hand, you have Adrian Peterson, who said, I was just doing what my daddy did to me.
Mr. Peterson will make a court appearance, I assume, sometime in the next couple weeks. This is still in its preliminary stages, so it'll be several months probably before this case is set for trial. So we would look to maybe a trial date in this matter sometime next year.
We go to the phones, Jim and Star with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Kay Millie, hey, congratulations, buddy.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate that. Thank you, and you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, well, we're on the air, I know, and you're such a humble guy that you don't even want to talk about it, but thanks for everything you do here, and thanks for putting everything else in front of you. You know, privately we've talked about that, and I really, really appreciate what you do, and you're so damn humble, and it just makes, you know what, you're a shining example for people, so look at what Kevin does. People put other people in front of yourself. It'll make your day actually a lot better. With that being said, you deserved it. And this Adrian Peterson deal, you know, here's the thing with it, with this discipline. I mean, we're making this guy out to be a devil. He used a switch on his kid. Now, is a switch? Was it a limb from a tree? What exactly was it? We don't know. We don't really know what the kid did. And I do know this, that we've gotten so soft with discipline in our kids these days that, I mean, they pretty much can get away with it, whatever they want. And you and I both know there's lots of kids, and I'm talking about, you know, 7-8-year-olds that run the show in their house. And, you know, we've seen stuff like that. Both of us, we've talked about that. It's ridiculous. Someone needs to have some fear in these kids. Fear is a great motivator. It shouldn't be abused. But, I mean, I think we're really jumping the gun on this one, Kevin.
Well, let me hit you with this. There's one thing about an open hand. There's another thing about leaving a welt on a little 4-year-old boy. Where do you draw the line?
He's only 4?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then that gets a little ugly.
I guess the photos are pretty damning.
Yeah, I didn't see the photos, and I didn't know he was 4, so I'm speaking a little quick on the subject. But I mean, let's say for instance, you know, it's a kid that's older, you know, gets caught trying to sneak some smokes around the house or trying to delve into dad's liquor cabinet or something. You know, there's definitely reasons I think to still spank kids, and I don't think that should ever go away. Fortunately, you know, my own son, he's 13, and the only time I've ever had to really give him a swat on the tush was when he was real little and, you know, thought it was okay to run out in the street. We obviously know that that's a very severe consequence. So, and I never felt bad for doing it, and I didn't do it out of rage. I just did it to, you know, redirect him. But I think we've swung way too far to the passive, wimpy side. And this of course, does sound like abuse because he's only 4. But I would just...
Well, I think the greater question is corporal punishment. People are vilified for disciplining their kids.
I know they are. And it's, you know, it's really weird. Like, you could be in, like, Walmart, right? Watch the idiots of the world, I mean, congregate there. And you can watch like a mom that's all frustrated start pulling on her kid's arm and you know, just going crazy with them. And I've even made comments to people, hey, you know, take it easy. What are you doing? And there's a point where is it discipline or is this person, parent acting out of frustration and losing their mind and just taking it out on their kid? That's a whole different thing. And I think that's where the lines get blurred pretty heavy.
Thank you for your kind comments.
Hey, you're the man, dude. Keep it up. You are such a big part of this community, Kevin, man. It is so cool to have you here, and it's sort of like you're our hub, and we just come to you for our information in the morning and get together and, you know, make it all happen. And I know if things ever got really ugly here, I know you would help keep things pulled together and, you know, make a nice speech like, can't we just all get along or something like that to bring the community together. So, man, we love you, dude. Take care.
Thank you, Jim.
See ya.
7:51, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, time for traffic.
We're back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
A banner calling for NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to step down, seen flying over First Energy Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio, Sunday. A women's advocacy group is behind the banners, which flew over several other stadiums as well. The group is accusing Goodell of a cover-up following last week's release of a video showing Ray Rice knocking out his then-fiancé in an elevator. And they're not alone. Protesters and fans say Goodell knew of the disturbing video and chose to turn a blind eye. ESPN is reporting that Rice will appeal his indefinite suspension from the NFL this week. The sports network saying he has until the end of Tuesday to file his appeal.
There we have it from Fox News Radio, Kevin Miller in the morning. What a class act that Ray Rice happens to be. He's caught. He admits it. He's dragged down the shield, dragged down the commissioner, and has the insert blank to appeal his decision? There should be no appeal. There should be jail time, right? We'll talk about that coming up. Plus, Alma the anti-fracker on the Idaho bomb train. What's that about? We'll talk about that. And don't forget Wednesday, thanks to our friends at CapEd Credit Union, we'll be at East Junior High School, promoting our school, securing our future. 52 now in Boise. Time for traffic at 580 KIDO. Coming up, we'll have the latest on ISIS. They've struck again. Do you believe the president when he says he has the plan? Oh, a new opinion poll out saying 62% believe the president has the best intentions. However, 68% of us believe it won't work. Is it time for boots on the ground one more time in the Middle East? Find out next. Kevin Miller, thank you for joining us. 580 KIDO. Serving Emmett, Idaho.